You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Playbook with Rob, Joe and Anika.
If you don't listen to The Playbook, you deserve 20 fucking whacks.
What's going on? Playbook's back. We were away last week.
Week off?
We did have a week off. Rob wasn't feeling too well.
Nah.
Yeah. We Anika and I had a pretty busy week as well.
No one cares, mate. Let's get on with it.
Okay.
Yeah, let's give the people what they want. Who wants to start?
Yeah, so we had a good week. It's brilliant. We're here now.
No, we did. We okay, did, right?
Sorry, man. We did. I've been away from the microphone.
Gonna bring a tear to his eye, Rob.
Yeah, good.
Man, I'm already...
Look at this. This guy's...
It's not even 5 minutes.
Sorry, so I'm so used to sitting next to you, and I have to get him first.
You're used to turning around and getting to be a dick, and you turn around, and it's Joe's little face looking at you. And
it's like battering. I feel like battering a seal with concrete Wellington boots on.
Anyway, sport, yeah. Rob, do you want
to
start us off?
Oh, yeah, sorry, I'll start off right. I'm all about the Premier League. I know I was talking about other stuff,
yeah.
But really I don't care at this point.
Fair
there's
play.
There's 6 weeks to go. This has been the most exciting Premier League possibly ever.
Good for you?
Not really. It's I think that's why I'm getting off my problems because of what Tottenham are doing. But anyway, The biggest news is Erik ten Hag is going to be Man United's new manager as of the end of the season. He's left Ajax, and he's got such a job ahead of him because they are shit.
Do you think he's up for it?
Yeah, it all depends what the board must have promised him to spend a lot of money.
Yeah.
But the thing is, they have to get rid of players. Possibly Harry Maguire, who's the most expensive defender ever, cost £80 million, and he's a human fridge.
Oh, is, 80 million
is
pounds.
Absolutely garbage. I've got to say, Man United supporters will say it as well. No one's, they're going to lose so much money because who wants to buy him? He's a slab of concrete.
Should just play rugby?
Yeah, he probably couldn't even do that properly. But they got absolutely battered by Liverpool this week. Last weekend, 4-0. And then they lost. Oh, yeah, in their last 10 meetings, aggregate score is Liverpool 29, Man United 2. That's quite a lot. And then their last two games, they've scored 9 goals against them. So he's got so much.
Yeah.
It's going to take them years, seasons, to get to where they want to be.
Okay.
I think. And I think it's funny.
I think that might be the rest of his career, trying to get them back.
Well, as I say, it all depends if the board... the people that own Man United have got it as like a bit of a money-losing business. I don't know. They own all these other sports in America.
Yeah.
And they're horrible. They don't care. They don't care about the club, really. I don't know. I reckon, it'll do it, but it's not going to be easy. It's going to take them, as I say, 2 or 3 seasons.
Right.
So they're falling so far behind Man City and Liverpool. It's ridiculous. And then Arsenal, they've actually jumped to the top 4. Is Man City, Liverpool, Chelsea and Spurs. Sorry, it's Chelsea, Arsenal, Spurs. I wrote it round the other way because I was so annoyed. Arsenal have taken over 4th place, which I'm not sort of happy about. But there's only 2 points in it. It's like so exciting. It's just, we could do it. I think it's going to be Man City, Liverpool, Chelsea. And then I have no idea who's going to get 4th place. It could be Arsenal, Spurs, Man United, or even West Ham.
Oh, shit.
It's that.
It's very close.
They're that close. And there's 6 games, 18 points could be anybody's. At the other end, Everton have dropped into 18th place now. They're in the relegation battle.
Aye.
So that's not really good for them. And got some big games. Actually, Friday morning.
Mm.
When's this coming out? Tomorrow, okay, tomorrow, yeah, Friday, 6:45 a.m, Man United, Chelsea.
6:45 a.m?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll be here.
Oh, well, then you'd be able to watch it. Oh!
Can I put on the TV?
Man United, Chelsea, and then Monday, Spurs, Leicester. That could go either way. And then West Ham are playing Arsenal. So, yeah, still lots going on.
Yeah, nice.
But just one last thing. The big thing for me is the decider for me is when Spurs play Arsenal on Friday the 13th of May at 6:45. I'm either going to be really happy or broken at the end of that game. So on that happy note, oh, there's lots of rumours going around about Pochettino. Mauricio Pochettino used to be our manager, who's now at PSG. He could be on the verge of getting sacked.
Why's that?
Well, because they didn't do anything good in the Champions League. They won the league,
yeah,
but then they didn't. They haven't gone through to the Champions League. And when they actually, this is how bad it is over there in France, in Paris. When they realised they'd won the league, rather than celebrate with the team, all the fans went outside and celebrated in a car park without the team. And they hate the team. But then you've got Neymar and Lionel Messi play for them, and they're not happy with that. I don't know what's wrong with them. But they reckon he's going to get sacked. And Antonio Conte, our manager at the moment, is in the frame to go there, and then Pochettino will come back. I don't think it's going to happen. This rumour's been going on for ages, just resurfaced again. I'm going to try to put a lid on it because I don't want it to happen. Because I like Antonio Conte. That's it for me.
I just real quick, I wanted to get your opinion on the Warriors game yesterday.
What happened now?
Well, they lost 17-10,
yeah,
didn't they?
Yeah, I know. What's all that about? Never saw that coming.
Yeah, neither. I don't know. I don't know too much about league, so I can't really comment.
I don't think they do either at the moment, really.
Their coach did admit that they gave up. Yeah, they gave up part way through. Yeah, I do feel for them.
But right. It's your job.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'm not trying to be harsh or anything. Because I feel like that they get big, they get like good paid money and that, and just like play for the show. What's wrong with you? They should all have a swift reprimands. Not happy.
Yeah, but like, yeah, that does make sense. Is that the worst sin in the game? Do you think that's like the worst sin in the game? When any sort of sport, you just give up?
Of course it is. Don't want to play for the shirt. Fuck off. Go away. Look.
Yeah.
but you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's free. Yeah.
Especially the money. I don't know what league players get, but I've seen football players. I remember once I was at Tottenham once, and I think we was playing Liverpool, and the ball bounced and it went a funny way, and our goalkeeper missed it, and he stood up and he's smiling, and my mate next to me was going absolutely mental. He's going like, fucking hell, it's not funny, mate. It's not, well, maybe we get a bit too passionate about it, but you know.
No, it's not right.
Yeah.
It's not right. You're both
looking
right?
at me,
right?
Like, right? Veining me. I wasn't going mad there, was I?
No. Sorry, I had like mentally ducked out of that conversation for like 2 seconds. And then I came back and it was like a whole thing. I'm sorry.
Nah, that's brilliant. Why the fuck do I bother?
I'm so sorry.
No, keep that in.
Anika, do you want to go next?
Oh yeah, right.
Go on.
Fuck, no, payback time.
I'll take my glasses off. I can't see anything.
I'm so sorry. to start off with, 126th Boston Marathon was back in its spring session. So okay. I think it got postponed for the first, I mean like cancelled for the first couple of years of COVID, postponed to October. So this was like the first year where we're back. In spring, our autumn, but their spring. Insane race in the female division. We had Olympic champion Perez Jepchirchir, I think, taking out the title. So she was. I mean, it was pretty amazing. She was coming second,
overall.
And then. Well, she was like running second. She didn't have the lead up until the last 2 Ks of the race, and that's when Ababel Yashane came, dropped back a little bit. Well, she was leading first, and then she dropped back, and so we had Jepchirchir take out the lead, and she crossed the line only 4 seconds ahead of Yashane.
Wow, that's because normally someone bolts away with it,
yeah,
don't they?
Yeah, normally so someone really bolts away, but that is very close. And she had a finish time of 2 hours, 21 minutes, and 1 second.
Damn.
1 second. For 42K.
How many people run it?
So
heaps.
Many.
But the question is
how many does that mean? So many with 1,000? 800? 12?
Well, the thing is, how many people run it competitively is this?
Rather because, than like, dressing up like a kangaroo or a
It's not like the fun run or the or round the bays.
It's not a fun run.
It's a proper
so
marathon.
This year there were 28,604.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
So heaps. But yeah, so that was pretty impressive. And then in the men's division, we had Evans Chibet, who the men were running in like this real strong leading pack for ages up until about like the 35K mark. And then Chibet pulled away, took the lead, had an 18-second advantage over Lawrence Tirono, who came with only 1.6K left. So that was pretty impressive. And he finished with a time of 2 hours, 6 minutes, and 51 seconds.
That's crazy for 42Ks.
Yeah. And it was a real great day for Kenyan runners. 6 of the women's top 10 and 5 of the men's top 10 were Kenyan. Also, little fun fact, this year's race marked the 50th anniversary of Nina Kusick's victory as the first official female winner.
I actually heard a documentary about her. It was fucking amazing.
So awesome. But I think it should... I mean, amazing victory. We're so happy.
No, amazing what she did, what she pioneered, really.
But it should be noted that she's not actually the first woman to finish the race, because that was Bobby Gibb, who ran in, I think, like 65, 66. And she ran among, like, the unofficial runners known as, like, the bandits.
Okay.
Because they were like, why the fuck are women not allowed to run this race? That makes no sense. But yeah, so 50 years of women being officially able to run the Boston Marathon, and
it just sounds so bad.
It sounds so bad considering it's been around 126 years, and I mean it's the world's oldest marathon. It's
an institution. The oldest marathon is the marathon.
Yeah.
I've got another interesting fact about that marathon.
Yeah.
1 year they found 3.5 ton of discarded clothing.
Well,
at the end of the race.
Oh, I mean, yeah, you'd be fucking getting rid of those layers.
I just made that up. I don't know whether that's true or not.
Why maybe do you do this?
I don't know. Maybe because my mind just wandered. I just zoned out of this conversation.
And Nika goes, yeah, I heard that somewhere.
Makes sense, though, doesn't it?
It does make sense.
Sorry. That's good.
I swear to fucking God.
What's that?
No, it's fine. You just embarrassed me.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. So I'll tell you.
Yeah,
what,
Rob's been waiting a long time for this.
2 weeks.
Congratulations.
2 weeks.
Second up, canoeing.
Yes, our boy.
Yeah. So we have our two top runners. So basically, they're competing for the New Zealand's place in the world champs at the moment. The two front runners at the moment are Amy Fisher and Dame Lisa Carrington. And so how it works is it's best out of 3 races. We had one race on Saturday, one race on Sunday, and then the final race is going to be on Thursday.
Where are they racing?
Here.
Okay.
And so they've won, it's one all at the moment. Amy Fisher won the first race on Saturday. She won it by 8 milliseconds. And then she lost the second race on Sunday by 11 milliseconds.
Wow, I can't even compute.
Oh, apparently watching it, like, you couldn't tell.
No.
You couldn't tell. Like, you couldn't see the winner when you were watching it.
I just have a bigger boat.
Yeah, okay.
It's easy, isn't it?
Just put a motor in the boat.
No.
It's cheating. So yeah, that was...
We've never had a problem with cheating in this podcast, right?
Sorry?
We've never had a problem with cheating in sports on this podcast.
I've got a problem with cheating in sport.
What about the whole steroids thing?
Oh, that's ridiculous. Should be doing it. That's cheating, isn't it?
Wasn't it like a few weeks ago we were like, oh, we should, you know...
No. That's just saying, look, that's for the Olympics. Just say, do whatever you want and explode at the end of the race. Oh. None of us really meant that. Well, I didn't. I just did it for comic effect. Did you mean it then?
No. No. I'm cutting this bit out.
Oh my gosh.
We'll go into canoeing a lot more next week.
Okay, yeah, yeah. We do well, have Tuvaa.
Shout out to Tuvaa, who was that. There for that, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
He was.
The world champ for the contenders, anyway. But yeah, and then we had the Emilia Romagna Grand Prix over the weekend as well. So that was interesting.
What was that?
Formula One.
F1.
Yeah, it's annoying.
So Max Verstappen came out on top. It was a great weekend for Red Bull.
Where was it?
Italy. Yeah. So Verstappen came out on top, and then Sergio Perez, the other Red Bull driver, came second, I think like 16 seconds behind.
Ferrari nosed it right up, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, Ferrari fucked it.
I was trying to be polite.
So, okay, look, like Ferrari's L is currently being put down to like actual technical problems with the car.
Just that amazes me, the money they spend on it. Why the hell do they have problems?
The money they spend on, well, yeah, I don't know. It's...
Or is it because they're trying to be so innovative?
Well, okay, so...
Innovative.
Well, no, but that's the thing. The whole point, like half the point of F1 is to be innovative. To be innovative. But, and so, like, you're constantly developing the car because you have to, and in order to keep up with everyone else, you have to. And Ferrari was the only team who didn't bring a single updated part to the race over the weekend.
Twats.
Yeah. And then I think it was something about, like, losing practice time and stuff.
And so it's not going good for our man, then, is it? Do you reckon
Leclerc.
The one and only driver.
Oh, Lewis Hamilton. Yeah. He came like bad.
I think he should just walk away.
He came very bad.
Walk away.
Yeah, no, he came like... Oh, well, I'll find the stat for you.
What a quote, Ricky Bobby. If you're not first, you're last.
He got lapped.
Oh.
What?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, that's your boy.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. That's your freaking guy.
Is that much my gazer? I didn't even know.
About
the race this weekend.
Who? He came 13th.
Holy!
I was about
shit.
To say 15th, but no, it's 13th. And
oh, that year just as bad, isn't it?
Just one race though.
Yeah, but
it's bad though. Like
that's bad.
Like he and it was bad in terms of the Mercedes team. I think the other Mercedes driver, Russell, came like 4th. So
okay, slight digression. How often would an athlete have to do bad in order for you guys, or for, in order for any? So let's say anyone to be like, oh, they're bad.
Well, I think the thing with like Lewis Hamilton is he hasn't been a winning driver in a while. Like he's been pretty mid. You know, like he's averaging out 4th.
Well, he's no longer in his prime, is he?
But I don't think it's just him. I think it's the team as well.
Oh, yeah, you have to put that into consideration, eh?
I think Mercedes has kind of started to fall back a little bit. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's such a, like, case-by-case question, you know? It's hard to say, but, yeah. Not great, not great for your boy.
No.
Well, Rob's boy, not my boy.
Well, I like him. He's not my boy, you know? I'd like to make that fact. put that out there.
But yeah, no, not great for him. But really fantastic weekend for Red Bull.
And the French geezer.
No, the French geezer. Well, the French geezer. Exactly. He's the Ferrari. Oh no, wait.
Leclerc. He's not.
Leclerc's not French.
He's not French. Oh, he's Italian, isn't he?
No, he's Swiss.
Sounds French, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's what I assumed. It was French as well. He's Swiss, but
well, I learned something every day.
No, but because he's a Ferrari driver, so he was dealing with like the Ferrari problems, and he came 6th, which is like disappointing because obviously he was off to such a confident start after the Aussie Grand Prix. But also, I think that if anything, this just really shows that you can't get complacent because we're talking about a sport that changes race to race. You know what I mean? And you have to keep up with new developments race, which is something
there isn't,
his team
no one's
do.
That dominant anymore like they used to be, like, for a whole season.
Mm.
You knew after sort of like the third race it was all over, basically.
Exactly.
Well, that's good. That's good for impartials, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah. It is. And it's good for sort of keeping everyone on their toes.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Where's the next one?
The next one?
Ooh. The next one's Miami.
When is it? When, though?
That's the 9th of May, so a few weeks away.
A couple of weeks. So, I mean, I can imagine Ferrari are going to be fucking hammering away between now and then to come back. Because they need, they just need to get back into, like, the development.
Yeah, sort themselves out.
Drive of it. Yeah.
Real quick, on the note of motorsport, I do want to... I feel like I can speak for all of us here, and we send condolences to the family and friends of Stephen Penn, who did pass away over the weekend at Palmerston North Speedway. That was quite sad.
That was really sad.
So our thoughts do go out to him and his family, dealing with a rough time, as well as all the Speedway fans around the country, worldwide. Yeah. Sweet. Okay, over to me. Everyone knows what I'm going to talk about. There was a lot of UFC, a lot of... yeah, Rob's got it. that was Rob hitting his face. A lot of UFC, a lot of...
That was Rob making me pay attention.
A lot of...
We feel each other's senses, that's why I smack each other in the place, and she just goes, shit.
Yeah, a lot of fighting over the weekend, a lot of UFC, a lot of Bellator.
And on telly.
And on telly.
Just outside pubs, I suppose.
Yeah, that too. And yeah, there was even like one championship was going off. They had great fights. Same with Bellator and UFC. But the big one this weekend was Tyson Fury versus Dillian White, which they fought at Wembley Stadium, 94,000 people. It was crazy.
It was mad.
Rob caught the highlights.
Yeah, it was mad.
What'd you think?
I can't get my head around him. He is an enigma. He just, to me, doesn't look like a fighter to start off with. Maybe because he has his shorts up so high and all that, but I just know he's just...
No, you're supposed to do that. You're supposed to do that.
So you can't punch under the belt?
Yeah.
I just wear mine right over my head.
Well... I mean, you can do that if you... I don't know.
What I saw of it, he just battered him.
Yes, he did. It was a 6th round TKO.
His legs had gone and everything.
Yeah, the knockdown was beautiful with the jab and the uppercut come right under him. Works real well with taller fighters against shorter fighters, because the shorter fighter will be looking to bridge the gap, and then taller fighter come up and catch him with that uppercut. You don't usually see it coming.
Yeah.
But yeah, beautiful from Tyson Fury. He's just eons ahead of the rest of that division, in my opinion.
Do you think he's like going to knock it on the head when his wife wants him to? Paris, that's her name, isn't it?
Fair enough,
if I were his wife, I'd want it.
Possibly. I think the only other competition he could have is Anthony Joshua, who I'm not sure if Anthony Joshua would beat him.
He wouldn't. I mean, I'm a huge Anthony Joshua fan, and he wouldn't beat him.
Yeah, I'm not a boxing aficionado, nor I don't claim to be an expert, so I can't make that call. But there, you know, you've got Usyk as well, although Usyk is significantly smaller than Tyson Fury.
Mm-hmm. Stature-wise.
Yeah, well, Usyk's a cruiserweight, so naturally a cruiserweight. Now he beat Anthony Joshua recently for the heavyweight belt. Okay. So, yeah, I just don't see anyone competing against Fury, so that would obviously set up a possible Fury versus Ngannou fight, who Ngannou is obviously the UFC world heavyweight champion, so that could possibly happen. We did see them in the ring together, and they did... Fury did this big speech, and Ngannou got all in there and was like, yeah, we're going to find out who the baddest motherfucker is. And so could we see that potentially? Yeah, that would be a massive fight, heaps of money. And yeah, I mean, like we saw something similar with in one championship with Rod Tang versus Mighty Mouse. It was a hybrid fight with hybrid rules. So first round was pure striking, and the second round obviously was added MMA rules, so you could add in the takedowns and stuff like that and submissions. I don't know what sort of rule set a hybrid fight would be under between those two. It would be huge.
I don't think he'd do it. I reckon after that fight he was so pumped up because he'd done this big speech about Jesus and God and all that straight after the fight. He was like off his chops. He was, I think he must have had so much adrenaline in him. I think once he'd calmed down and that, I don't think he'll do it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we could potentially see...
But actually, no, I'll just say one thing. I hope he doesn't do it because I think it cheapens what he's already done. It's almost like jumping on the bandwagon of that. Who's that Irish twat?
Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
most
like...
most famous person in Ireland. Saw that the other day.
Yeah, Conor McGregor, by far.
What, more popular than Bono?
Or Sinead O'Connor?
Nay.
What the fuck? I mean, Bono, yes.
Sinead O'Connor, nah, I don't know. Yeah, Conor McGregor, definitely. Yeah, I mean, that was an incredible spectacle to witness Tyson Fury come out with 94,000 people in attendance.
Oh my God, the amount of people. It was like overwhelming, and I feel like... that's something that we've been lacking at sporting events over the past 2 years because of COVID. It's just like watching something and seeing this massive crowd who are all like ramped up.
Yeah.
For, I don't know, it was just quite amazing.
Real quick though, the weekend before that, we had another huge fight. Well, not huge in the sense that, not like, obviously if you're not a boxing fan, you may have not known about it, or if, like, it wasn't too much in the mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
That was Terence Crawford versus Yordanis Ugas, which was a big fight because Errol Spence did defeat Ugas via, I think, a doctor stoppage. And that set... doctor stoppage. So Ugas's eye basically swollen shut.
He had an appointment or something.
Shut up, bro.
Honestly, I've never heard that expression.
Well, it can happen. It obviously,
so
like,
the doctor's gone in and gone, nah, that's it.
Yeah, happens all the time.
Okay.
Yeah, it does.
Wow. Now you need to go to an appointment.
So this sets up a massive fight between Errol Spence Jr. and Terence Crawford, which arguably is the biggest fight of this decade.
Arguably. Of this decade? It's 2022. It's a bit preemptive, isn't it?
It's the biggest. Yeah. Between 2010 and 2019, everyone wanted to see Errol Spence and Terence Crawford fight.
So it's the biggest fight of last decade.
Did you? Not everybody, come on.
Well, biggest fight of this decade.
Not everybody was kung fu fighting either.
That's a sting. It's a new sting.
Not everybody was fighting. That's really funny.
It's not mine. I've heard that before.
Oh, damn it.
I could have claimed it, but people listening to the podcast was going, oh, what a twat. He's claiming that as his own. Yeah. I could just remember shit.
So, yeah, it's huge because that's two undefeated fighters. They are ridiculously good. And now it's they're set to face off, and that's the one thing that's been lacking in boxing is that big fight feel. The two best of the best going against each other to see who's better, right? It's what boxing needs. You know,
I've never seen you so animated, man. You're like
almost quite a bit taken aback.
Because this is huge, and like I'm gonna start fanboying soon because like for me I want to.
What do you mean soon?
No, but like I really
want. I wish the listeners could see. Obviously
my face has lit up, right? Because Crawford versus Spence means that we get to see boxing at the highest level, and it could be a complete. It could either be a complete dogfight, like Hagler versus Hearns esque, or it could be, I don't know. It could be a technical bout, or it could be a rugged, dirty bout. I'm excited to see it, and I want to see it happen.
Mm.
So do I, man. Now, just because of your enthusiasm, before I couldn't really give a fuck, but now I'm just so pumped.
Well, the good thing is that we have a long stretch of boxing coming up, so I want to turn your attention real quick to this weekend.
Yeah, well quick.
Well quick, which is Shakur Stevenson versus Oscar Valdez. That's another high-level fight that I think everyone should watch. I think it's on Top Rank, but... Okay. Everyone should watch that and just pay attention to boxing over the next few months.
Okay. Right?
We have like Canelo fighting. We have Javonte Davis fighting. We have Inoue fighting. There's so many good fighters that people should be watching. That's if you're a boxing fan.
So, sorry, I'm getting very passionate on the mic right now. We should move on.
I've got one last boxing thing. David Tua was inducted into the Boxing Hall of Fame last weekend in Los Angeles. What can I say? I've actually met him once. He's just what a fucking top man. Does so much good for the community.
I can't believe I forgot that. David Tua is a legend in the sport. Arguably, he's a pioneer in Polynesian boxing. There's a lot of legends that come out of New Zealand that don't get enough credit, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And David Tua is one of them. He's
52 fights, 43, won by a knockout.
Yeah. he was a lethal weapon. He was like a Polynesian version of David Tua back in the... not David Tua, of Mike Tyson.
I was going to say Mike Tyson, because he had that little man, not little man, but...
That quite
so much power.
Yeah, yeah. So congratulations to David Tua.
See, I had it written down, look.
Well deserved for him.
Yeah, so... I clap on my own, I sound like a seal, but... Oh.
We should probably move on because we've been talking about this for a while. Sports and politics.
Sports and politics. Yeah, I've got a couple of things that I want to talk about this week. The first being Brittany Griner. So...
The basketballer.
Yeah.
Still banged up.
Yeah.
That's outrageous.
So, for those of you who don't know, Brittany Griner is a WNBA superstar. And in Feb... She was detained at a Russian airport for carrying... She had vape cartridges in her luggage, which allegedly had cannabis oil in them. So she was arrested in Russia and has been detained in Russia since mid-Feb. Her teammates just kind of started breaking their silence a while ago, but it's sort of... It's bringing up a lot of stuff. Firstly, there are huge concerns for her safety at the moment. Huge concerns for her safety, as she's like a very well-known, highly regarded gay black woman facing trial in Russia, where authorities have historically been very hostile to minority groups.
That's a very polite way to say it. They're bastards.
They're fucked.
Yeah.
It's really dark at the moment, but the WNBA has said very little because obviously the political tensions are so high. They don't want Griner to be used as like a pawn by the Russians, and it's just this weird territory and no one knows how to deal with it. They don't know how to deal with it diplomatically. They don't know how to deal with it in a publicity way. And so everyone's sort of treating around this matter, not wanting to be like confrontational to it. Meanwhile, she's just in a Russian prison having no idea what her fate's going to be because the sentence could be like 5 to 10 years, but she's still detained. She hasn't...
I remember we talked about this on one of our very first podcasts. I'm sure we talked about this.
And
I'm... And I think she might... I thought she had some sort of like release date or something. I'm sure at that point...
It got pushed.
But obviously... So what you're saying is because...
She did have a release date, but...
But because of what's happening in Ukraine...
I wouldn't necessarily say because of that.
That they're using her as some sort of bargaining tool. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't... I mean, that's a very big call to make.
That's what I'm saying. What would be the actual point of it? I wouldn't...
Yeah, I don't know, but it... So her detention got extended for until May 19th, according to the Russia's state-run TASS news agency. But it's still very concerning because it's fucking Russia and they're going to do what they want and you don't know what they are going to do. Griner plays for the Phoenix Mercury, and she was in Russia to play club basketball, which is something that is very common among WNBA players, namely because they can earn so much more money going overseas and playing for foreign leagues off-season than they ever could on domestic teams.
That's outrageous.
It's fucked. So the average The average salaries from the WNBA range from a rookie minimum of around 60 grand to the absolute max, which is like 228 grand a year. In Russia, they can go and play and be earning around $1 million.
Jeez.
So it's like very obvious while they do it. And then you've got the male NBA stars who are earning millions of dollars on season and just getting to sit cushy off season because they're not trying to...
Tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah, tens of millions of dollars.
The pay gap between the two is quite...
And we're
notable.
Talking about, like, Brittany Griner is, like, an absolutely, like, top-of-her-league player. She's something like a seven-time All-Star. Or six or
seven.
So
it'd be like the equivalent if they had Michael Jordan banged up.
Well, Michael Jordan was, like top of his class. So, I don't know, would you call Brittany Griner the top WNBA star? I would say she's quite high profile.
She's only basketball player's name I knew, so I was like...
Yeah. No, fair enough. I mean,
yeah, that's fair.
She's in the leagues of, like...
And she is hype, yeah, she's hype.
Stephen Adams, there you go, no, another one.
Better than Stephen Adams, there we go. Somewhere between Michael Jordan and Stephen Adams. No. She is, like, she's very much at the top of her game. She's one of the top WNBA players, absolute superstar.
So it's just a stalemate now, then.
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
They're just waiting until this next court date or whatever it is.
Which is May 19th, says here.
So where does she go? Should she go to court then?
Yeah.
What do you mean, should she go to court?
No, is she going to court?
Oh, right, yeah. But, like, the thing is, if she gets convicted, that's a 5 to 10 year sentence. Yeah. And it's like the US government isn't actively doing anything because they're so nervous about everything else that's going on.
God, these twats.
But yeah, what WNBA players weren't coming out and saying much up until about a month ago. There were rumors that apparently Griner's family didn't want them to say much or anything either. But now they're coming out and saying stuff, and what the common sentiment that's coming out from all of them is that if they were valued in their own country, they wouldn't even have to play overseas during off season.
That's true.
Like, you know, they would actually get a break after, intensive seasons on. But, yeah, no, it's pretty shit.
Yeah, that is.
So that was one sports and politics thing I wanted to bring up. And then the other one, which I wanted to get your guys' opinion on, Wimbledon's ban on Russian and Belarusian.
I knew this was coming.
Tennis players.
Yeah, I ain't got a problem with it.
You got a problem with it?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you haven't? No. Okay. No. Novak Djokovic does.
Oh, what a surprise.
Oh, your boy.
No, he's my boy, he is.
He is your boy. He's saying he cannot support this crazy decision. Look. Banning Russian and Belarusian athletes from competing at Wimbledon isn't going to make Russia retreat from Ukraine.
No. Unfortunately, it won't.
It won't with all the sporting stuff. None of it will.
I think it's like there's this awkward thing now of we have some pretty top players, some pretty tournament-changing players who now won't be playing. So no Daniel Medvedev.
But he's a bit of a knob anyway.
He is a knob, but he's still
number two in the world.
Yeah, he's
still pretty high up.
He's
there.
Still number... It was like not having Djokovic play in the Oz Open, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind
of
like...
Oh, yeah, it takes the thing away of, well, when you won it, well, would you really have won it if everybody was here? It tarnishes the actual winner almost in a way.
Yeah, so no him, even in the women's league.
Lot of it depends. If they don't live there anymore and they wear a T-shirt saying Putin is a knobhead or something like that, I think that would be all right.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
But a lot of them
won't... It's just weird what... basically what Djokovic has come out and said, and he's like... he said, I condemn war, But like,
but not this one.
Well, he is saying that he condemns the war, but he's saying that, like, you know, the athletes, tennis players, have, like, they don't have anything to do with it. That's his whole standpoint. And so,
well, another point is what makes tennis players so special, because every other sports people it's happened to, what makes them so special that they can do whatever they want?
Yeah, I think.
So
I mean,
what are you? Okay, are you for it or against it?
I'm not bringing this up to be like they should do it for tennis, they shouldn't do it for anything else. I'm just bringing it up to talk about it as like the wider issue of are we like putting this kind of responsibility on these like athletes, and also what do we want them to do about
We want them to turn around.
Yeah, okay. If that was a clause like, hey, Medvedev or whatever, if you turn around and if you condemn the actions of Putin, we'll let you play. I mean, he's a fucking dickhead, but I do think it's unfair because of Putin and Russia. I think it's unfair to expect someone to put themselves and their family in that kind of danger. Because, like,
yeah, I suppose it's easy, you know, for us, I mean? Us sitting here thousands of miles away from it saying what they should and shouldn't do. Mm. I mean, my big thing of it is that by stopping all these sports people, you want them to go back to Russia and go, look, what he's doing is wrong. But it's not as easy as that for them.
It's not a government that's going to accept.
No, no, I just accept that, you know, as you was, because you're very good at explaining things to me, because I don't like wheelbarrow words. You make it really simple. I just got it. Thank you.
Yeah, it's in terms of how I feel.
It was quite painful for me to say that.
Don't cut it out.
I'm not cutting that out.
It's never going to happen.
Not cutting that out.
But yeah, no. In terms of how I feel about it, honestly, I don't know. I don't know. I find this very difficult. I kind of, like, if anything, I think my only sort of solid opinion on it is what's the point? Like, what is this meant to do?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm very confused. But then, at the same time, like, I know if we have, like, a Russian player, the Russian flag winning Wimbledon.
You can't.
Isn't
it?
Yes.
Because they were saying, like, you imagine, like, the photo opportunity, if you've got whoever, because it's normally a member of the royal family that presents whatever they present them to, and you're saying if they're standing there with someone Russian, it's, well,
it's difficult. It's really difficult.
Stuck between a rock and a hard place.
I think, like, I kind of think if anything they could figure out a way for them to compete not under the Russian flag or the Belarusian flag.
Well, that's what happened in the Olympics when it went to the Olympics.
Yeah, because that's what happens in the Olympics. I don't mind. Like, yeah, I'm pretty on board with that.
So would there have to be a Russian athletic committee? That's the question.
Yeah.
And that would.
And that's a really hard question.
Yeah, because then that's who would that be run by?
Yeah.
Don't look at
it's
me.
It's a difficult situation. Yeah. You have all the answers, right, Rob?
No, I... Oh, fuck yeah. is that it?
No, I real quick, I have I saw a video, thought it was pretty funny, so I wanted to get your guys...
Who's that?
This is the transcript of the actual video. It says here that genetic... sorry, I'll just preface this. Hypothetical situation, I just want your guys' opinion on it.
Okay.
So... Genetic engineers at Johns Hopkins University have developed a so-called super gorilla. It has a sign language lexicon of over 12,000 words and an IQ of almost 85, and most notably, a vague sense of self-awareness. The creature, who weighs almost 700 pounds, oddly becomes fascinated with football. The gorilla aspires to play the game at its highest level and quickly develops the rudimentary skills of a defensive end. ESPN analyst Tom Jackson speculates that this gorilla would be borderline unblockable and likely would average 6 sacks per game, although Jackson concedes that the beast might be susceptible to counters and misdirection plays. Meanwhile, the gorilla has made it abundantly clear that he would never intentionally injure an opponent. You are the commissioner of the NFL. Would you allow this gorilla to sign with the Oakland Raiders?
No.
I just think those people getting paid money just to fuck about.
Yeah. Do something better with your resources. Yeah. Like, I mean, fuck off.
It was hypothetical. It wasn't actually real, but...
It was hypothetical.
Oh, is that what hypothetical means? I thought it's something to do with needles or something.
I didn't hear you say hypothetical.
No, of course not. Of course not. No, of course not.
It's a fucking gorilla. Leave it alone. Yeah. Jesus. Yeah.
They're quite gentle, peaceful people. Why are you making it aggro? It's sack. Does that mean tackle?
What if it gets aggro because it can't play football? Because it's passionate about football.
No, it gets aggro because it has to spend so much time around these fucking... To bring this show to a close, let the gorillas... Go back to the fucking jungle.
Yeah.
How much time do we
leave
have?
Leave the sport to the people.
Yeah, can we knock it on the head?
I've got a boost.
Finish
well.
It off a bit early.
Yeah.
So real quick, what are you guys looking forward to this weekend?
I've already told you once at the beginning, and I'm not saying it again.
I think coming up this week, this comes out tomorrow, so I'll be keeping my eye on Thursday to see who we're going to have representing us at the Canoeing World Champs, because it is going to be tight. And both of those chicks are going to be gunning for it. They're super nice to each other, though. I really like that. They're really amicable.
That's why I like enjoying watching the Olympics. It's the camaraderie between them, especially like the Winter Olympics.
So good.
Like all the snowboarding and all that lot. I thought that was great cheering each other on.
Yeah.
A lot of more sportsmen need to do stuff like that.
But
more sportsmanlike.
That's what I will be keeping my eye on. And yeah.
What about you then?
Oh, just Oscar Valdez versus Shakur Stevenson. Watch that. That's the one I'm going to be watching this weekend. But a bunch of UFC is on. UFC Fight Night. Vera.
Sort it out yourself.
Catch it.
Yeah.
It. Yeah.
That's
it. Catch it.
Google it.
Yeah, do that.
Google the cards.
Anyway, these guys want to get out of here. That wraps us. That wraps it up for this week. We'll be back next week. Peace. Yeah. See ya.
Okay. Ta-ha. Awesome. Love you guys.
Well, I get the fuck out.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.